This year is the 400th anniversary of what is usually referred to as the First Thanksgiving. It happened in the fall of 1621. More than likely, it happened in late September or early October. And it wasn't just a little bitty meal that we're talking about here. This is one point in a much larger story that I think we all need to appreciate as we come as Americans around this time of year to this holiday. The pilgrims, as we know them, and they only got that name because they made the journey here, were actually separatists from the Church of England. The Church of England had as its head, still does to this day, the sovereign of the kingdom of England, the United Kingdom. And in the time of the turmoil of the Protestant Revolution, the Church of England pretty much wanted everybody in their country to toe the line according to their dictates. And this is why the United States was formed in the way it was, to have the freedom of faith that's right there in the First Amendment. Because the Church of England in the late 1500s started penalizing anybody that did not attend on a regular basis the Church of England services. It penalized them if they did not use the Common Book of Prayer. It penalized them if they did not resort to the authorized version of the Church of England, which had just recently become what we know today as the King James Version. And because of that, many Protestants who felt uncomfortable with a lot of the things that the Church of England was doing and stuff that was happening behind the scene, they refused to go along with that. And so they ended up being persecuted. At first, they thought that maybe they could just go over to Holland and kind of hang out there until things cooled down. It didn't work. Because Holland, the reason they were kind of allowing freedom of religion was because they weren't really big into the Bible itself anyway. And there was a lot of sinful activities that were right out in the open. And so when the separatists of England got over to Holland and spent a decade or so there, they realized they were losing their kids out of Christianity. And so when it became clear that there were opportunities to go and take your chances in starting new colonies in the wilderness of North America, the believers in Jesus Christ that we know of as these pilgrims, they decided they'd make the trip. Now, they couldn't all go at the same time, and they had all sorts of trouble with the two boats that they'd managed to lease. One of them didn't even make it very far on the trip, so they had to go back and whittle it down to just over 100 of these guys that were going to be able to go to the New World. They made the crossing. It took a long time. It was tough. They got there too late to really be comfortable establishing their colony in the New World, in the wilderness of what we call Massachusetts today. And that first winter was hard. They lost half of their people. And the next spring, they were babes in the wood. Let's just be honest about it. They were people, many of them city folk, trying to figure out how to live in the wilderness of a world that they'd never been to before. And if it hadn't been for the fact that Tisquanto happened across them, they wouldn't have made it. Tisquanto, or Squanto as most of us grew up knowing him as, is an interesting character because he unfortunately had suffered his own troubles. He had been kidnapped by white adventurers several years earlier and taken off to England And well, actually, he was going to be sold in Gibraltar, but he managed to escape. And in England, he got enough stuff together that he could make his way back to his home country. But he found out that all of the people in his village and the neighboring villages had died from European illnesses. There was nobody left. And so he kind of got adopted into a local group of natives that he became part of their tribe. And then he found this bunch living in his old territory that needed his help. They wouldn't have made it without him, and so he helped them. And so by the harvest season of 1621, things were starting to look better. Better enough that they were already sending messages to their people in England. You can come. It's going to be tough, but you can come. This is William Bradford's history of how that fall was shaping up. He says, they began now to dwell, or to gather in the small harvest they had, and to fit up their houses and dwellings against the winter, being all well recovered in health and strength, and had all things in good plenty. For as some were thus employed in affairs abroad, others were exercised in fishing about cod and bass and other fish, of which they took good store, of which every family had their portion. And all the summer there was no want. Now think about that, after this winter of starving. And they now began to come in a store of fowl as winter approached, of which this place did abound when they can be used, but afterward decreased by degrees. And besides waterfowl, there was a great store of wild turkeys. How many of you had turkey for Thanksgiving this year? Yeah. But there was also, they took many besides venison, etc. And besides, they had a peck of meal a week to a person. Now, a peck, I believe, is a quarter of a bushel. Think about that. For every week, you've only got a quarter of a bushel of grain to grind up to make your bread. But they thought that was good. They now, since harvest, Indian corn to the proportion, which many afterward write so largely of their plenty here to their friends in England, which were not feigned but true reports. So they thought, we can make it now. Here's another guy that was there, Edward Winslow. He said, our harvest being gotten in, our governor sent four men on out fowling so that we might after a special manner rejoice together after we had gathered the fruit of our labors. This is their preparations for what we call the first Thanksgiving. They four in one killed as much fowl as, with a little help aside, served the company almost a week, and at which time, amongst other recreations, we exercised our arms, many of the Indians coming amongst us, and among the rest of their greatest king, Massasoit, with some 90 men, whom for 3 days we entertained and feasted, and they went out and they killed 5 deer, which we brought to the plantation and bestowed on our governor and upon the captain and others. When you hear the full story, you find out that these separatists had not invited the natives to this meal to begin with. They were just having their old good time of doing some target practice with their muskets. The natives heard that, came to find out what in the world's all this noise that's going on over at the white people's camp. And then they said, well, why don't you stick around? We're celebrating the harvest. We're so thankful that we're here and alive. And so they went out and got more food and came back in 3 days. They enjoyed all that food together. And it says that although it be not always so plentiful as it was at this time with us, yet by the goodness of God, we are so far from want that we often wish you partakers of our plenty. So they acknowledged there were tough times still ahead, and there were. Squanto, unfortunately, did not survive for the next 2 winters. He only lived a couple more years after this because life was tough in that part of the world, even for those that grew up there. But these guys were thankful because they were in a new world where they could read the Bible in their own language and worship and pray to God in their own verbiage. and did not have some government person standing over their necks to tell them, no, you have to read this passage today, or you have to pray this worded prayer. This is the beginning of why our founding documents look the way they do, is because many of the people that came to this country came looking for freedom of faith, the Christian faith. Now, during the next 160-some years, more and more people poured in, particularly from England, particularly Protestants that were separatists, into the place that we call now the United States. And you know that over time, politics became a problem. And England became more and more abusive, particularly after King George III came to power. And that is how we end up with the Revolutionary War getting started. And that war was tough. And it looked for a while like the United States, the colonies, the United Colonies, which became the states, were going to lose. But they didn't. And they understood that one of the reasons that they hadn't lost is because God seemed to be helping them out. And so when they settled into their congressional meetings in the fall of 1782, they declared their thanksgiving to the God who helped them get through the recent war. I'm not going to read every word in this Thanksgiving Declaration. This is the very first Thanksgiving Declaration made by the Congress. And you can see the reason we have our Thanksgiving ceremonies this time of year is because this is when this was adopted, Thursday, 28 November, 1782. But they started out by saying this, it being the indispensable duty of all nations, not only to offer up their supplications to Almighty God, the giver of all good, for his gracious assistance in a time of distress, but also in a solemn and public manner to give him praise for his goodness in general, and especially for the great and signal interpositions of his providence in their behalf. And then it goes on in this declaration that this country owed God a special debt of thanksgiving because of the recent war ending the way it did. They stood up against the most powerful army and navy combo in the world of that day. They should have lost, but they didn't. And they said afterwards, after all the conflict had ended, while the Treaty of Paris was all being drafted up by the diplomats, we owe God a special Thanksgiving Day for that. So they said that as a Congress, they recommend to the inhabitants of these states in general to observe and request that all the several states interpose their authority in appointing this particular day in November as a day of solemn thanksgiving to God for all his mercies. And they do further recommend that to all ranks to testify their gratitude to God for his goodness by a cheerful obedience to his laws and by promoting each in his station and by his influence the practice of true an undefiled religion, which is the great foundation of public prosperity and national happiness. Now, don't you dare tell me that this country was not set up with a major focus on Christianity. That is in the official documents of the Congress of the United States. They said, we owe God special thanksgiving. And everybody that lives here needs to thank him for everything that he's done for us. And they set up the very first official Thanksgiving in November for that purpose. Fast forward to the actual establishment of the United States. All the paperwork is done. The document we know as the Constitution has been officially adopted. The first 10 amendments are out there, including the very first one that talks about that none of the federal officers of this new Constitution can tell the states how to run themselves religion-wise. Every last one of the states at that time had their own official Bible-based religion. Understand that. Almost all of their constitutions established Christianity as their state religion. And the federal government was told in Amendment number one, stay out of what the states do. Okay? The president, the only president to be acclaimed by unanimous vote, the president of these United States, and he didn't want it the second time around, but they convinced him, you need to do it because you're the right man for the job. He declared the first official Thanksgiving of this new republic. And it was to take place on Thursday, 26 November, 1789. Here is that document. And it starts out pretty much the same as the other one. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peacefully to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. You notice how that part is in quotes? Because Congress had issued another document that they sent to the president with those exact words. Another official document mentioning specifically God of the Bible. And so this first president said, now therefore I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, and that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people and this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of His providence, which we experienced in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been able to establish the constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly, the national one that now lately instituted for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors which He hath been pleased to confer upon us. The president said, we, the people of the United States, owe God thanks for everything that happens in this country because He has been kind to us. And also, that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations and beseech Him to pardon our national and other transgressions. When we give thanks to God, that also involves apologizing to God for the things we've done wrong. We need to repent of our sins. When we go through the scripture, one of the things that's very interesting is from time to time, leadership stands up and apologizes to God for the sins of the people as a group. Daniel himself is one of the best examples of this. He had not engaged in the sins of the people. He had not joined in with the sins of the people, but he stood up and said, God, we are sorry that we have sinned against You. And President Washington said to the people of the United States by this declaration, we owe God an apology for those times and those things that we have sinned as individuals and as a group. And you know what? The United States has engaged in a lot of behavior through its existence that it has needed to apologize for. And we should be ashamed of some of the things that went on in the name of Jesus Christ in Christianity's history. And we need to apologize to God for those things happening and to make sure they never happen again. And thanksgiving involves that repairing of the relationship with God and with each other. He continues, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and related relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as been shown kindness to us, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord. It says we have got to also pray to God that He will help us to be the best citizens possible. That we will be obedient to the laws and that we will make laws that are fair and right. And he says we need to also do that to set an example for other countries. And you know what? The United States was at that time and has been for quite some time until the recent past, the place where Christianity controlled the activities of the majority of the population. And the president knew that, and he wanted the people to keep that up and for those not doing it to repent and join in. Finally, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue. When they said the word religion back at that time, they were talking specifically about Christianity. And when they talked about true religion, they were thinking about the scripture as being the source of that stuff. And the increase of science among them and us. One of the things that the United States was engaging in is that they were on the cutting edge of new technology and new science. And they wanted to promote that. But they wanted to promote it with the idea that it should be governed by virtue. It should be governed by godly thinking. And that should still be true. And that's what we should be praying about, is that as we advance in our technologies, that they are advanced in honor of God to help the best people, or to help the most people out in the best possible way. And generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best. That's a way of saying, and that we can have a good life in the here and now as we're waiting for eternal life with him later. That's the ideals behind Thanksgiving in its earliest form here in the United States. Now, unfortunately, we've lost some of that. We've lost a lot of that. More than likely, a lot of people in the United States on Thanksgiving Day did not say one word of thanks to God. They may not even use the word Thanksgiving. They might have called it Turkey Day. They might have been more caught up in the idea, I've got to get to the lines for Black Friday. Or I've got to watch a football game. One of the saddest things that people are criticized for in Scripture is that they do not give thanks to the one who gives them all the blessings of life and liberty. It's weird. You've seen these words, and you've seen how focused they were on God, and how it was all revolving around a celebration at the end of November. Did you know, though, that early on it was established that it should be the last November, or last Thursday in November would always be Thanksgiving, until President Roosevelt came along, and he and the Congress decided to change it to the fourth Sunday in November. Do you know why? They wanted to ensure coming out of the recession or the depression, let's make sure that there's as many shopping days as possible between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Let's make sure our economy benefits from the placement of Thanksgiving. Now, I heard you sigh about that, because that's unfortunately the heart that people fall back into if they don't keep their eyes on the Lord, if they're not instructed from the Word. And so I want to leave you this morning not with the words of the Congress or the President, as good as they were earlier on. I want to leave you with the words of Scripture itself. These words were read aloud to that shipload of separatists when they dropped anchor in the bay in that first fall of 1620. Before they ever got off the ship, they were gathered together and they heard the words of Psalm 100. And I want you to think of them in the context of Thanksgiving. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. How many of you cheered on your sports team? Anybody do any of this jumping up and down during your... I know you would have, whenever they had some special hit or some special score that you didn't expect. Yeah! Well, guess what? We're supposed to be thankful to the Lord in that sort of excitement, shouting to Him. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. I am so thankful that we in Christianity have put a lot of focus on musical worship. We start out our services in that way, don't we? We have some really upbeat sorts of songs to really get the juices flowing of our thanksgiving to God and our encouragement of each other, but then we also have some down-tempo ones to make us thoughtful, to think, what did it cost? What did it cost for us to be saved? And how thankful we ought to be for that. Know that the Lord Himself is God. Now that's the name there, the divine name. Yahweh is where Lord is in that sentence. That He's the one, He who is the real deal. He's the God that we're talking about. There's not this generic thanksgiving to the vague force spirit of the universe. You know, the early settlers in this country, the separatists in particular, they knew exactly who they were thankful to. These guys did too. Know that He Himself is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are not self-made people. And we are not accidents of evolution. We came into existence because God chose to make in His image and His likeness, first Adam, included Eve, and then had them reproduce that image over and over again until here we are today. Seated here, we are all made in the image of God. We marred that image by our sins, and through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, it is being remade in us. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We belong to Him. And because of that, we should enter His gates with thanksgiving. That's the point of this time of year, isn't it? We enter into His presence, into the presence of one another, thanking Him. His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. I think it is fantastic that people thank one another this time of year. And they talk about Thanksgiving Day being important, about thanking the people around you. And some of the people you don't know, the behind-the-scenes people, thanking them for their service and what they've done for you. But let's never forget the main point. Our primary thanksgiving is due to God. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. That is one of the favorite lines in the Psalms of the Jewish people. He who is good, his loving kindness is everlasting. That word loving kindness, in Hebrew it's chesed. It is hard to translate into English properly. Loving kindness comes close as possible, but I almost have to do a sentence for you to understand it. It is that God has this emotional attachment, this positive emotional attachment toward us. He really likes us. He wants us to be his kids. His loving kindness is everlasting. He wants everyone possible to come into his family and stay there for eternity. And his faithfulness is to all generations. Not just to the people that came here in 1620 because they were looking for a place where they wouldn't be persecuted for their faith. Not just simply for all those people that came in the centuries after that, that flooded in here and were part of this country, looking for a place where they could be free in their faith and in their business pursuits. It is for us today too. His faithfulness is true to us today. And it's not just for us who are saved right now. It is for anybody out there that wants to be saved. And that's why we should be loving people to death instead of being mean and rude to them. Because his loving kindness was directed toward us, and it's also directed to those that have not yet come to him. And then it's going to last for eternity, because the next thing on the agenda is Jesus is coming back to finish it all up. And what a day of thanksgiving that'll be, won't it? I want us to leave here today, go home, have some leftovers, right? You've all got leftovers, I'm sure. Enjoy some family. Some of you still got family here. You're not sending them off just yet. Enjoy all of that. Enjoy some football games. I know there's some, right, scheduled still. Enjoy all of that rest and recuperation that comes from a nice four-day weekend for most of the people. But in the midst of all of that, don't forget the one who gave everything to us that we should be thankful for. Let us offer a great thanksgiving to the one who was, is, and will always be. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for Thanksgiving. And I thank you for the reminders that this time of year has for us, that we live in an amazing place in the world with an amazing history. Yes, it's got a lot of other issues in its history that we are still wrestling with, that we're still fighting over. But we know in the midst of all of that, there is you. And that if we will all just humble ourselves and repent of our sins, and take you as our God and your Son as our Savior, things can be better, to be the way you want them to be, and we can have even more things poured out on us that we can be thankful for. Father, accept from us this Thanksgiving offering today and help us to take it out into the world all year round. It is in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen.